Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. I think I have two different programs in my head for today because this is the feast of Saint Stephen of Hungary. And if you remember, I was in Hungary some months ago and I talked about his crown that's preserved in Hungary and really quite a magnificent building. And his crown is protected there. And when communism was attacking Eastern Europe a number of years ago, there was a desire to capture that throne, to take it, to steal it, because the people have great faith in their original king, Saint Stephen, and they have a great love for him. And the crown is such a mark for them of great hope and great joy. And so there was an attempt to take the crown. And in order to protect it, it was, as I mentioned to you before, it was passed from one country to another until it finally, it was in other parts of Europe, and then it was in Great Britain, and then it was in the United States. And it's just a marvelous story of how that crown was protected, and it was returned when Jimmy Carter was president. He returned that crown. They had a whole delegation that brought it back to Hungary, which was a cause of great rejoicing. So Saint Stephen of Hungary is now embedded in my own heart and my own mind after having visited the area, seen the crown, heard all the stories. It's a remarkable story, and it's worth reading. Saint Stephen of Hungary was born in 975. He was baptized at the age of 10. In the year 1000, he was crowned the first king of Hungary. And with prudence and charity, he worked to create a genuine Christian culture within his realm, founded on laws to protect orphans, widows, and the impoverished serfs. In his later years, he patiently suffered physical illness and the continual political intrigues of his relations who sought the throne. He died in 1038. So that's part of what we celebrate today here is St. Stephen of Hungary. But let's take a look also at the readings for today and what the Lord speaks to us about forgiveness. This is very, very important. First reading is taken from the prophet Ezekiel chapter 12, verses 1 to 12. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, you live in the midst of a rebellious house. They have eyes to see but do not see, ears to hear but do not hear, for they are a rebellious house. I think we could define ourselves as a rebellious house in many ways. Don't just think of yourself. You're part of a people. There's a place to think of yourself, but think right now of us within the church, within this country. Are we not a rebellious house? Now, son of man, during the day while they are looking on, prepare your baggage as though for exile, and again while they are looking on, migrate from where you live to another place. Perhaps they will see that they are a rebellious house. You shall bring out your baggage like an exile in the daytime while they are looking on, and in the evening again while they are looking on, you shall go out like one of those driven into exile. While they look on, dig a hole in the wall and pass through it. While they look on, shoulder the burden and set out in the darkness. Cover your face that you may not see the land, for I have made you a sign for the house of Israel. He's leaving because they're a rebellious house. He's a sign of what the Lord wants the people to see in the hopes that they will turn. I did as I was told. During the day, I brought out my baggage as though it were that of an exile, and at evening, I dug a hole through the wall with my hand, and while they looked on, I set out in the darkness, shouldering my burden. And then in the morning, the word of the Lord came to me, son of man, did not the house of Israel, that rebellious house, ask you what you were doing? Tell them, thus says the Lord God, this oracle concerns Jerusalem and the whole house of Israel within it. I am a sign for you, As I have done, so shall it be done to them. As captives they shall go into exile. The prince who is among them shall shoulder his burden and set out in darkness, going through a hole that he has dug in the wall, and covering his face, lest he be seen by anyone. These are the prophetic signs of living a prophetic word. Israel was rebellious, turning away from God. Brothers and sisters, what about you and me? What about us? How rebellious we are, internally as well as externally. There are times to rebel. But you do it according to the Lord's will, not according to our own selfishness, not according to our own anger. Do you live in peace with God? Do you live in peace with your neighbor? It's a bit of a different point from this reading, but I think it's an extension. Look around. Where are you rebellious? Because if we're rebellious in certain situations, there are some ways, even if we're not facing them, there are some ways we're rebellious in terms of the Lord himself. We're not doing what he wants, what he has asked of us. Examine your conscience. Don't live in rebellion. It will destroy you. And God has so much more for you, so much more than you can possibly imagine. If we follow him in this life, so follow him. Turn away from your rebellious desires. Choose to follow him, and you will find peace. That's the promise. Even now, you will find peace. Psalm 78 tells us, "Do not forget the works of the Lord. They tempted and rebelled against God the Most High and kept not his decrees. They turned back and were faithless like their fathers. They recoiled like a treacherous bow. They angered him with their high places and with their idols, roused his jealousy. God heard him, was enraged, and utterly rejected Israel." Oh, brothers and sisters, let us not bring more anger and disdain and rejection of God by us. Let's follow him, because therein is our peace. The Alleluia verse before the gospel is a pretty powerful one. "Let your countenance shine upon your servant." Let your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Teach me your law. Show me how to obey it. Keep asking him that. He'll show you internally and externally. But ask him with a sincere heart. In the Gospel of Matthew for today, chapter 18, verses 21 to chapter 19, verse 1. This is unforgiveness. And brothers and sisters, let me just say here, unforgiveness is one of the greatest obstacles to doing the will of God. If you won't forgive, you close yourself off from the merciful love of God. It's true. There's a lot of points to this, but just ask yourself, where do you carry unforgiveness? And what are you going to do about it? That obstacle between you and God may disappear. Listen to this. Peter approached Jesus and asked him, "Lord, if my brother sins against me, how often must I forgive him? 7 times? Jesus answered, "I say to you, not 7 times. 77 times, and 7 was the perfect number in a sense, so you just keep forgiving. That is why the kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, 'Be patient with me. I will pay you back in full.' Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan." Okay. Wow. That's quite something. But what happens now? Look at this. When that servant had left, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him a much smaller amount. And he seized him and he started to choke him, demanding, "Pay back what you owe." And falling to his knees, his fellow servants begged him, "Be patient with me. I will pay you back." But he refused. In other words, he was forgiven by the master. Translate that. He was forgiven by the Lord, but he would not forgive others. He in turn would not give to others what had been given to him. Falling to his knees, his fellow servant begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, when his fellow servants saw what had happened, they were deeply disturbed, and they went to the master and reported his whole affair. His master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you your entire debt because you begged me to. Should you not have had pity on your fellow servant as I had pity on you?" Then in anger, his master handed him over to the torturers until he should pay back the whole debt. "So will my heavenly Father do to you, unless each of you forgives his brother from his heart." How do you forgive from the heart? Only by the grace of God. But the grace of God is there. Do you forgive others? Or do you go to confession and ask God's forgiveness and God forgives you, and then you go out and will not forgive others? Then you're in the same position as this person was. His master forgave his debt, lavished upon him, and then he went off and demanded others pay him. He didn't forgive them as he had been forgiven. The Lord is saying to all of us today, "I forgive you every time you come to me. I forgive you. You get a clean slate. It's gone. You start over." What do we say in the Lord's Prayer? Every time at Mass, every time in our own prayers, what do we say in the Lord's Prayer? Listen to these words. "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." Listen to what you're praying. Lord, forgive me the way I'm forgiving others. Forgive me the way I forgive others. Do you see that? That's the Lord's Prayer. That's the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Do we just mumble those words and never think of their meaning? Jesus told us, "Forgive one another as I have forgiven you." That was a command. That's not an option. It's a command. I'm going to be speaking much more about forgiveness because I think it's one of the biggest strongholds. The lack of forgiveness is one of the biggest strongholds to our drawing closer to God. But ponder that a bit. Don't condemn yourself. If you haven't forgiven someone, don't condemn yourself. But look at that prayer and ask God the Father to come to help you, to give you the grace to forgive another who has harmed you. I'm going to speak much more about this area, but for now, just make an assessment. May God be praised in your life and in the decisions you make. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.